This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Harun Shambel.
Like pearls hidden deep beneath a dark stream of his eyes. But like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Shambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we are here with Brother Muhammad Witten, and he is going to be talking to us in this next half hour about his journey to Islam. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce every one of our listeners to Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So Brother Muhammad, I would like to start out by asking you about your upbringing. As a child and so forth, what were your the major influences in your life, things that you would say pretty much made up who you were, your character in that, and your spiritual outlook on things and whatnot?
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. In the name of Allah, walhamdulillah, the praises for Allah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. And prayers and blessings upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My first influence in my childhood would have to be my father. I looked up to him very much as a young child, as early as I can remember, about 6 years old. It was really when I really started looking to my father as, you know, the guy that I really wanted to be like. Spiritually, to be honest with you, coming up before Islam, you know, we were, I guess, your everyday American household Christians. We went to church when necessary,
I think, you know, holidays.
Yeah, holidays. With at grandma's house.
Occasional festivities.
Yes,
stuff like that. So, how would you say that your view on God and belief and things like that were derived, not just necessarily from your experience as a Christian, but your experience around your peers, your friends, with your family, things like that, in your culture, in your society, and whatnot? Did you have any, how were you feeling about God and things like that in early going?
Early on in my life, I realized that there was a God. I say around 7 or 8, I understood the concept of God, or just a higher being. And it was also at that time when I understood that people would call on Jesus as God. And for some reason, as a young boy at that age, I felt it wasn't necessary for me to call on Jesus. Maybe it was out of arrogance, or, you know, I thought I was better than everybody else. But I decided that, you know, why do I have to call on Him? Why can't I just call on God? And that's pretty much how me as an individual at that age worshiped, or, you know, called on God. It was just a direct link between me and God. I kind of put Jesus out of the equation, even though I may have been in church or with these things. But I just, you know, looked at it as, hey, I don't need to go through somebody to get to God. And I think now that I think back, I think that was one of the defining factors of my young ideology that led me to Islam.
Subhanallah. Do you really believe, though, now when you look back at it, that it was something that was based on arrogance?
Yes.
You really do?
I
honestly could have been like fitra, maybe?
It may have been fitra, but the constant, you know, the way I thought about myself at the time was,
you just like, hey, bump these fools. I'm just going straight to the man.
Why do I need to call on Jesus when I can just call on God? If he's going to call on God, why can't I?
Right.
So that's the way I thought.
And was this something that you like internalized, or was just, were you outspoken about it?
I wasn't outspoken about it because it wasn't something that I brought to the attention of my mother and father. It's just something, you know, within my heart and within my mind that, hey, when we got on our knees and on our beds and we did our prayers and things like that, you know, I'd always just say,
God. You'd be like covering yourself and be like, oh, God.
Yeah, oh, God, you know, and so, I would never, I don't remember ever calling in the name of Jesus.
That's wild, man. Because it was similar, like, in my situation. But my mom, honestly, never really, like, was hot on the whole Trinitarian thing, even though she called herself a Christian. You know what I mean? She always told me to just believe in God. And she was describing, you know, the God that we understand. You know what I mean? This all-powerful being, the most merciful, all-forgiving, all of the, you know, that's who I thought of was God from the very beginning. You know what I mean? It's interesting that, you know. I don't think it was arrogance, though, man. You're just trying to make yourself look like you're a bad guy, but you're not, man.
No, I'm just going to be perfectly honest. That's when I look back at it. I mean, what else would let a 7-year-old or 8-year-old boy think that he can just call on God when everybody else is telling him that, you know, that he should call on Jesus?
Father?
Yeah, it could be the decree, but, you know. it was the decree. I mean, let me take that back. It was the decree.
All right. And so as you kind of started, you grew up from this and, you know, you went through your adolescence and so forth, and you started, you know, getting a bit older, started thinking a bit more maturely, things like that. Did you find yourself swaying from that, or, you know, you just on point with it?
Not one bit did I sway from that understanding that my relationship was my relationship alone with God. But then when I turned, I believe it was 13. When my father accepted Islam.
Right.
My father accepted Islam when I was 13. I believe I was in the 8th grade.
Right.
And one of the things I remember is when he came home and said that he accepted Islam, he sat, I remember one time, this was 2 years later, that he sat us down, me and a friend of mine, and he explained Islam to us.
Right.
And it was at that point that I agreed. You know what? This is the truth. I agree. But I didn't accept. I just agreed with
you. You're
just
like, yeah, that makes sense. Right. I'm down with that thinking.
It wasn't at 13, that was the first time I actually had heard of Islam, when my father came home with it. And, you know, I did not know anything about Arabs, about Islams, about Muslims, any of that. I had never heard of it.
In a nutshell, what led him to his decision towards Islam?
My mother says one of the things that led him to Islam was he could not accept the fact of Jesus being God or the Son of God. And he just didn't understand that rationale. And, you know, which is, you know, when you really sit down and think about it, it really doesn't make sense. So he had a friend who's in Iowa. At that time we were stationed in Iowa. My father's in the military. And he had a friend who pretty much, you know, led him along the way to his acceptance of Islam. And you know, he accepted when I was 13. And I remember one story that he gave me a Quran at that age, too. And I went to school. And one of my friends, I'll never forget his name, Hagen Randolph. He asked me, because I told him my father's Muslim. He said, well, you do have a Quran. And I said, okay, I'll give you a Quran if you show me a gun. So the next day, he came to school with a .45 caliber gun. And he pulled it out in Mr. Pagan's, I think it was World Studies or Social Studies class. He showed me the gun, and then I gave him the Quran.
SubhanAllah.
And, you know, so this was, and I had a feeling about myself like, oh, man, I'm the end guy now because my father's Muslim. You know, because a lot of guys at that time, you know, with rap and, you know, the Islam coming up, and especially in rap, you know, people were kind of asking me, you know, your father's a Muslim. I was like, yeah, my father's a Muslim. You know, I had a certain sense of,
it kind of made you a celebrity. Made you a bit of a celebrity, huh?
Right. But, you know, unfortunately, I didn't accept Islam at that time. Alhamdulillah.
Hold that thought. We got to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other thing. not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life. And through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great, the Creator.
Welcome back. You're listening From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Muhammad, and he's been describing to us his journey to Islam. So in the second segment here, we'd like to pick up where we left off. I want to kind of maybe elaborate a little bit more on this this thing that you're talking about when we finished off. The influence that I guess you could say Islam has in hip hop. I too, like growing up, listened to hip hop heavily, and the word Islam and Muslim is thrown around a lot. You know, you have a lot of, you know, like a lot of the old school cats. You know, like you got Brand Newbie and people like that. They're like, you know, even some of them have like the Adhan, you know, on their albums and what have you. But I found, and I'm not saying necessarily that group or others in specific, but I found now after, you know, learning about Islam and studying it, a lot of the people, or many, I should say, of the people that are involved in those different kinds of like hip hop acts and whatnot are people that are from different groups. Like, for example, 5%ers, Nation, stuff like that. And not wanting to hate on anybody, but to a certain degree, it's like listening back now to some of the lyrics of that, of those different types of songs, and trying to conceptualize how Islam can be fit into that. You know, it kind of like amazes me how like the orthodox mainstream Islam is totally like overlooked, and yet how it can be such a huge influence, the word and the just the culture of Islam or what have you, to a certain degree, whatever way it may be manifested. Anyway, how would you say that, you know, within that, that affected you? You know what I mean? Growing up, now you're a Muslim. Now, you know, it's like, I mean, your dad's Muslim. You're like, you said, you're like, you know, people are looking, it's like, oh, your dad's Muslim. Oh, da, da, this, that, and the other. But how did it affect you? And did you start actually thinking those other things were Islam? Was that your idea? Or were you like?
Well, see, at that time, my father, we have to remember at this time, was this 1987, 1988. My father was new to Islam.
Yeah.
And so he didn't know too much about any of the different groups in Islam either.
Right.
And I remember one time specifically, my father used to have a record player, and I used to, this was back in the days when we bought records.
Right. You know, like vinyl.
Yeah, vinyl. Cassettes were still making its way into the record stores, and we used to buy records. I used to ride my bike to this record shop, and I would buy all of these new records. And one record that I bought, and this was the first one where I actually had heard an overt tone of Islam, was the Eric B. and Rakim, their very first album, Paid in Full.
Right.
And in one of the songs, he clearly speaks saying that he's a Muslim and that he believes in Allah. And, you know, I asked my father, and, you know, I said, you know, do you know about these guys? Are these guys Muslim? And he was like, well, you know, I don't know. If he says he's Muslim, he's Muslim.
Right.
Later on, I've come to find out that actually Rakim himself is a 5%er.
Right.
But at that time, all that did was add to my intrigue concerning Islam.
Right.
Okay. So now you have Rakim. He says he's Muslim. Then there was another rapper, Lakim Shabazz. And I, you know, because at this, I said, Lakim Shabazz, wow. He has a different name and must be Muslim. And he always talked about being Muslim. And that, you know, again, it further festered in my heart the want to look into Islam. And then after that, there was a rapper. His name was Kwame from Philadelphia. And he wasn't a hardcore rapper. He didn't, you know, talk about shooting people and killing. His rap was like, as my brothers, we termed it back in that day, like happy rap.
Yeah.
But he always, one of his explicit lyrics was that, you know, my sole chief of belief is that of Islam. And again, I said, you know, wow, you know, this Islam thing must really be serious. Yeah. All of these rappers. And at that time, the only people you really looked up to were your father and the rappers. that was it. Or, you know, your sports star, right. Sports player. So I wanted to look further. And after that, I think I reached the ninth grade. My father gave me the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Right.
And I read that. And, you know, that's just full of Islamic references and things like that. So I read that. And, you know, still the festering was there. You know, I was like, you know, this is what I want to be. I want to be Muslim. But the fact that my mother wasn't Muslim, I didn't want to feel like that I was hurting her by accepting Islam.
Right. You didn't want her to feel bad.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. These are one of the, that's probably one of the dominating feelings that I had at that time, was that if I accept Islam, how will my mother feel? So, you know, I let it go, because at the time I was 14, 15 years old, and I wasn't strong in my resolve as a person, like, you know, I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't care what anybody says. So that is one of the main factors that stopped me. On throughout high school, you know, I remember this was in Iowa, a friend of mine, Marcus Easter, you know, we started a group called the United Black Front. And because in Iowa, you know,
UBF, huh?
Yeah. You know, there's only three members. Me and Marcus and a Spanish brother, Derek Gomez. So
okay.
We kind of got away from the black thing. But anyway, one of our tenets was that, you know, we were reading the autobiography of Malcolm X. You know, every day you come to school, like, you know, which chapter did you read of the auto? At one point, I think I had read it nearly 7 or 8 times within a year. You know, got almost obsessive with the autobiography and just of Malcolm X. I used to all, you know, get his tapes. I remember going to Detroit and taking an album from one of my cousins, just trying to, you know, to listen to Malcolm. And it was, you know, these things. And with all that, was just the backdrop, was that at some point I knew that I was going to accept Islam, but I just wasn't, you know, wasn't ready to break that bond of making it seem like I'm going with father versus staying with mother. And, you know, I was looking for a time when it can be like, more of I'm just going with myself, I'm not going with father, not going with mother.
I'm just doing me.
I'm just doing what I want to do. So, you know, that was pretty much it.
All right. Well, it's a good point. We need to take a break for a few messages from our sponsors. You're listening From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
Abdullah ibn al-Bitar was one of the greatest scientists of Spain. He was born in the city of Malaqa in the end of the 12th century. He learned botany from Abu al-Abbas al-Nabati, and he started collecting plants in and around Spain with him. In 1224, Ibn al-Bitar entered the service of al-Kamil, the Egyptian governor, and was appointed chief herbalist. His greatest contribution was Kitab al-Jam' fi al-Adwiya al-Mufrada, which dealt with medicinal plants in Arabic. The encyclopedia contains over 1,400 items, mainly medicinal plants and vegetables, of which 200 plant species were not known of before. Ibn al-Bitar died in the year 1248 AD. This has been A Minute of Muslim Civilization from IBN.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years.
Welcome back. You're listening From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We're here in the final segment of our show with Brother Muhammad. And I guess what I would like to do here is get to the meat of the matter, you know?
How I accepted
Islam? Yeah. When did you finally say, okay, this is what I'm going to do? When did you finally, you know, get that resolve that you were talking about before?
Okay. Because I think my story of Islam really starts at 13, and I'll just tell you it ends at 21 when I actually accepted Islam. I've already taken you through 10th grade where we had the United Black Front. 11th grade, we moved to Kansas. I went to 4 different high schools in 4 years. 9th grade 1, 10th grade 1, 11th grade 1, 12th grade 1. In 11th grade, I was at a all-white Catholic high school you know, being an African American, I kind of felt a little outside of the crowd.
And in Kansas too.
In Kansas, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
And so one of the, they had a radio show, was called, there was a nighttime radio show, and it was all about the, you know, the black experience, just the Afrocentric, you know. They played overtly racist songs by like rappers such as Paris, okay. You know, who, but he mentioned Islam in his songs as well, right. But he, you know, and today he'd be considered an extremist. And I remember listening to that, and that was my only backdrop to ease what was in my heart about wanting to accept Islam, was listening to this show. And so then we moved my 12th grade year to Virginia. And pretty much the 12th grade is, you know, when I really decided that, you know what, because there was some friction between my mother and father with his accepting of Islam. And it was pretty much in 12th grade when I decided that, you know what, hey, if he wants to be Muslim, you know, my father, that's fine. I don't have any problems with it. And I had decided I graduated high school 92, and I decided I was getting ready to start college football. And I decided right before going to practice that I would stop eating pork. This is at 18. That was really my first step, that I'm going to stop eating pork. So I stopped eating pork and went on to, you know, I used to have the Quran with me in my dorm and everything. And I, you know, Allah knows best what this is, but I remember having the Quran and I would read it every night. And I had good grades and my life was okay. Then I put it in the closet one day, and the next 3 years of my life were terrible. The next three, I didn't read the Quran. I wasn't doing anything. And the next 3 years of my life, probably, you know, the worst 3 years that I've, you know, been through. And just got so much so that I had run into some problems with a drug dealer in the local area.
All right.
And that, you know how the statements get back to you, you know, oh, he's going to kill you. So everyone said that, you know, he was going to kill me. This is what I was being told. So I remember standing in front of the mirror one day, and, you know, I said, you know, oh Allah, if Islam is the truth, you know, give me Islam despite what the Christians and Jews say. And I said, well, oh, you know, oh Allah, give me Christianity if Christianity is the truth despite what the Jews and the Muslims say. And the same statement I said for Judaism, give me Judaism if it's the truth despite what the Muslims and Christians say. Because I had closed out all other religions. You know, there's just three, Christianity, Jews, and Islam, as being the ones that, if you have any type of sense and understanding, those would be the only three that you would choose.
Right.
And so, and I just made a sincere dua or supplication for the truth, despite of what people think. So I came home that summer, and my father told me that he had a Saudi Arabian friend that was in America studying, doing some, at a school in Fort Lee. And he said that he was black. And I said, no way. The Saudis are, you know, however they look, with the big beards and, you know, the turbans or the red gutras that they wear.
Yeah.
And he said, he's got nappy hair like you. And I was like, this is impossible. So, you know, I said, I want to meet him. He's like, okay, come to the masjid. So we went to the salah masjid for salah, and they had finished praying. And I went over and sat down with him, and he said, his name was Abbas. And, you know, he went over and I said, you know, you're from Saudi. He's like, yeah. I was like, you know, I can't believe you're from Saudi and you're black. And he's, you know, like, mashallah. He's like, do you want to become Muslim? I said, well, you know, I've thought about it. I'm, you know, I've been thinking about it for a while. He said, okay, great. Why don't you repeat after me? And so he went along to say the whole Shahada, and I repeated it. And then after that, he said, you are a Muslim. And I was like, well, dang. So I went home. I didn't make salah, didn't do anything. I went home. I was like, man, I'm Muslim? Means I gotta pray, I gotta fast, I gotta make hajj, I gotta do all these things. And I just did it from, you know, from then on out. You know, he gave me you know, how to say the shahada correctly, and, you mm-hmm. know, all these things, what to say in salah, how to make salah. He wrote those out on, you know, those long yellow tablets. Yeah. Those pieces of paper.
Yeah.
He had four or five of those sheets with everything in Arabic and in English, with a transliteration and how to make salah and how to do that. And that's pretty much how I accepted Islam, you know, when started at 13, ended with meeting the black Saudi that I couldn't believe at 21. You know, what a coincidence that, you know, my ignorance and understanding how cultures are and how people look in certain countries led me to meeting a brother that would actually
give you the shahada.
Give me the shahada. So And I just pretty much, you know, went on strong from there. You know, one of the main things that I did was I made sure that I continued to learn. You know, learning was always something that I did, you know, reading whatever I could, always wanting to read more and more and learn more. And, you know, that was pretty much it.
So, okay, in closing, we just have a couple minutes left. In closing, let's wrap this up. I want to ask you, how is, I guess, your situation now? All right. You've been Muslim now for some time. You've had, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about it in this segment, you know, so I'm kind of cheating here because I know you. So you've had some chances to travel, to learn about Islam and things like that. So when you look back at everything and you come up to where you're at now, how would you say your state is spiritually in your heart, your outlook in life, mentally, spiritually, and so forth? And I guess base that in how is Islam, like, help you to progress?
I think one of the most distinct things that helped my iman is that summer that I accepted Islam was also the summer that my father was being stationed in Cairo, Egypt. And I was, you know, in some trouble academically as well. So I pretty much had no other choice than to go with him to Egypt. And it was really in Egypt where, you know, my father, you know, mashallah, from my father always was in the masjid for Fajr and for Isha, no matter where he was, for his time as a Muslim. He was always in Musalli of Fajr and Isha. And so I remember just walking to Salah, meeting with the Muslims. I remember when I was in Cairo at this time, I was being taught Quran from a 4-year-old child. And, you know, the last three surahs and Surah Al-Fatiha, and he was my teacher. And so I was just learning. I think that the learning is really the most important thing for any new Muslim, is that they must continue to learn about the religion. Because everything, you know, starts with knowledge. You know, just as Allah says in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ فَاسْتَغْفَرْ لِذَنْبَكَ. And like, you know, Shaykh Bukhari says about that ayah, that Allah started with knowledge before statements and actions, that knowledge is the most important thing that you have to have. And I think that, you know, and also Allah gave me a chance to learn the Arabic language while in Egypt a second time, as well as over in Saudi Arabia. And, you know, these things have allowed me the tools where I can increase my belief, and also just being grateful for the bounties that Allah has given me. And these are the things. So my state now, when looking from the beginning to the end, inshallah, is a whole lot stronger than it was in the beginning. And I'm just grateful that Allah chose, you know, to give me Islam, because you didn't have to.
30 seconds. What advice could you give to our listeners in closing?
Study, study, and study. And remember that the more you study, the more upon you is the actions. So the more, when you learn and you implement, then your iman increases. But when you learn and you don't implement, you lose what you've learned, as well as it affects your heart.
May Allah reward you.
Ameen.
Thank you for joining us. And inshallah, I'm going to have to get you back on here again for a second one, you know, sometime in the near future. Inshallah.
Well, I do have a brother that accepted Islam 2 years ago. So, you know, he may be a good candidate.
I think we're going to have to get in touch with him, inshallah. All right, well, to our viewers, we thank you all for joining in to this episode of From Darkness to Light. Just remember for everyone that finding guidance, that all of us are in a situation where it's never too late. So be on your, you know, be on the lookout. And like the brother said in the end, study and learn and apply. Thank you very much. And please join us again for another episode of From Darkness to Light. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.